Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Callan. I'm your host and Holy Spirit is our overseer. Yes, we are so excited and we are delighted that you are here with us this morning. What an honor, what a privilege to have you here fellowshipping with us this morning. We are blessed. We are blessed to be in the presence of the Lord, that he has given us another day, another hour, another moment to celebrate who he is. And I am so glad that he did not allow us to stay in the bed, but he breathed his own precious breath of life into our lungs. And all I can say this morning is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. A day that I've never seen and a day that I will never see again. Father God, I pray that today that you would use us to speak to your people as you speak through us. And Lord, we will be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes, Holy Spirit, we adore you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you in this place to come into this house, come into this home, come into our hearts today and begin to touch us. Begin, oh God, to touch us this morning. Touch us with your love. Yes, Lord. Let the anointing come this morning and destroy every yoke, remove every burden. Jesus, we lift up our hands to you this morning. A sign of adoration, a sign of humility. That God, we just want you to know that we love you. And we thank you for saving us. We thank you for saving us, O Lord. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for saving us, O Lord, for you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, Jesus, we ask you, O Lord, to have your way today, have your way in us. Speak through us, Lord. Speak through us. Let your grace and your mercy rest upon us this morning. We are a little tired this morning because we were in church all day yesterday, up to night, last night. We didn't get home till late yesterday evening. But we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord that he is still God. He is still King. He is still ruler. Yes, Lord, that we honor him. We honor him. We adore him. Yes, Jesus, for you alone, Jesus, Yes, Lord. You alone, you alone, you alone. We adore this morning. We adore you this morning, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. We're going to just play a couple of songs and then we're going to come back in and teach this message. In Jesus' name, we are just going to set the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit, because He loves music, and we love to worship the Lord. We will be on shortly teaching you today. We'll be teaching today on the subject matter, God brings compassion and forgiveness. God brings it. He gives it to us. He extends compassion. Even when men and when women don't want to be compassionate, they don't want to be forgiven, God still offers us forgiveness. He gives us what we don't deserve because He's a loving God, a holy God, a righteous God. My Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Holy Spirit of the living God. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. No one like you, Lord. Blog Talk Radio changed their setup, and every morning you have to go through so much in order to get the system on. So much you have to go through. They change the whole layout. It's like you almost starting a whole new program to get this thing to come on. I mean, it's just yours. I don't know what to say to what they did. I don't know what they're thinking. They're trying to use this new format, and it take too long. But Lord, we just thank you and praise you, oh God. Holy Spirit, let me turn the music on, then I can play with this to get to the place where I need to be.
If the Lord God has given you another chance, stand on your feet and give Him some praise again. Everybody, come on.
Oh! Thank you.
Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me...
Thank you.
That in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand, oh my God, there are pleasures forevermore. Father, we thank you for granting us grace and mercy on this day. We thank you, oh Lord, for resting your arms upon us, for covering us with your love and your mercy this morning. Lord, we thank you for your compassion. It's forever and ever, Lord God. We just honor you this morning. Father, we ask you to touch those under the sounding of my voice all over the earth this day, oh God, that need a touch from you today. Lord, we pray, oh God, for you to comfort those that need to be comforted today, oh God. Father, we just ask you, oh God, to arrest that, oh God, that is troubling us. Oh God, this morning, Father, we ask that you would allow your peace, oh God, to rest upon us. Holy and living God, we ask you this morning, in the precious name of Jesus, to saturate the atmosphere this morning. God, make the atmosphere to be receptive to your word this morning, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would clean the areas, oh God, the waterways, the trainways, oh God. The highways this morning, oh God, you will sterilize it this morning. God, not only sterilize these areas, but sterilize our mind, that our minds and our hearts will be receptive to your word, oh God, that we'll be able to cast down the weight, the sin and the weight that so easily beset us, oh God. God, give us the opportunity to look up to you, the art and finish of our faith this morning. We ask you, Lord God, to forgive us of all our sins, all our transgressions, all our iniquities, O God. Wash us this morning, O God, and make us whiter than snow, O God. My Lord, we just ask you this morning to forgive us, Lord God, even our thoughts, O God. Lord, there's times that we don't want to think things, but things come into our mind. They bombard our mind. And Lord, we cast them down, and some things try to linger, to hang on, God. But we ask you, O God, this morning, to strengthen us in the areas of thought, oh God. God, help us to be able to cast down things much faster, oh God. We pray today for our family members that are not saved, oh God, all of our family members. We pray for our loved ones that are not saved, that don't know you, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you would touch them, Lord. Lord, that you would draw them to you, because your word declare and decree that no one can come to you except you draw them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word on yesterday, on last night. God, what a powerful word. Come on to Jesus. The young lady that preached her initial sermon last night was quick and sweet. And her message was, come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Glory to God. We are saying this morning to everybody, come on to Jesus. He is waiting this morning for those that are lost, those that are in captivity, even in their very self-same mind, to come on to Jesus. Let him give you rest. Let him cleanse you. Let him heal you. Let him deliver you. Let him set you free this morning. We pray for those that are sick in their body this morning, oh God. We ask you to touch their bodies this morning. Those that are in prison in their own mind, God, let them take up the keys that you have given them in your word and begin to use the keys so they can be free from contamination. Lord, we pray this morning for those that, Lord God, need a Savior, that they would open their mouth and just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole again, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Just welcome him into your heart. Invite him into your heart. He said he stands at the door of your heart knocking. If you would open the door, he'll come in and stop with you. God wants to come into our hearts. He wants to live there. Not just coming, but he wants to live in our hearts. Father, we just thank you for what you are doing in us and through us and with us, Lord God. We just pray that, God, this morning, that you would allow the angel of heaven to leave heaven and bring the coals up from the altar of God and rest upon our lips this morning. Not just my lips, but all of our lips all over this world, the north, the south, the east, and the west, oh God, that we'll be able to speak your word with clarity, with boldness, with power, with authority, oh God. That we're able to speak your word that would bring manifestation, oh God, would bring results, oh God. Father, we pray today that as the angel rests the coals upon our lips, that it will purge us from all iniquity, oh God, Everything that's not clean would leave us, O God, as you've done for Isaiah in the time of Hezekiah. Lord, we ask you not to allow us to come in with uncleanness, O God, but we ask that you would clean us today. Clean us that as we enter into your presence, O God, with a heart of thanksgiving and a mouth full of praise, O God, that you'll receive all that comes from us to you, and we'll be able to receive from you, Lord God. We ask you, O God, that if we speak a word today that didn't come from you, that you would cause our mouth to cling to the roof, our tongue to cling to the roof of our mouth today, and we never, never, never speak another word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming in this morning into our hearts. Even as you woke us up this morning, we could hear you speaking to us. And we thank you, O God. We want to bring glory to your name, Jesus, and cause your people to be propelled into your presence, O God, to be drawn into your presence even the more by your word. Well, thank you. Give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Just tell the Lord, thank you this morning. He woke us up this morning. It was not the alarm clock, and it wasn't the commentator on the television. Touch your hand, rest your hand on your body this morning. Say, Lord, heal my body. Lord, heal my body. Make my body whole, Jesus, that I might live to declare your works. In Jesus' name. Now, and we're going to be talking this morning about the subject matter is God brings compassion and forgiveness. And when you talk about compassion, you think of someone. For me, I think of someone really going out beyond their call of duty and doing for someone what they can't do for themselves. You know, and this is a hard thing to do to find people that would step out of their comfort zone to help someone else. But this is what God is requiring of us because he did it. And because he did it, he wants us to do the same. Yes, God wants us to have compassion for one another. He says, and I look here at the clarification or interpretation of compassion. It says it's a deep feeling of sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to elevate the suffering. This is to be compassionate. This is what God is calling, asking for us to be compassionate. And then the Lord is asking us to be forgiving. Why? Because he has brought compassion, reaching to us in the midst of all that we were dealing with and the way we were. And he extended grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. God gave us something that we were not deserving of. He gave us something that we were not deserving of because he loved us. And he wants us to do the same thing to others. He wants us to be compassionate. There's so many people that you see in the body of Christ that don't have compassion. They have what we call the showmanship of who they ought to be, because they're not there yet. I'm not professing that I have it all together, but I know I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I want to be yet, but I'm not who I used to be. And I'm very grateful that God is still working with me. He's still working on me and through me. So I'm grateful for that. So many people I see that if the slightest thing go wrong with them or with somebody else, they'll just get bent completely out of shape, and they don't know how to handle situations. My pastor used to tell me when I was back in Washington, Virginia, she used to say, because they were pastor and co-pastor, Pastor Rose and Pastor Crosby, And she would say, and I like that cliche. She just said, if you stay flexible, you wouldn't get bent out of shape easily. You know, something is very flexible, it's very hard to get to bend it out of shape. So this is what all of us as believers need. We need to become flexible. And you become flexible as a believer by studying the Word of God and allowing God to lead you or lead us and guide us. But most of the time we find ourselves moving in our own strength, in our own power, in our own authority, using our own words and not God's word. But let's go into the Word of God and see what God is saying about this compassion and this forgiveness. And let's go to Exodus chapter 34. We're going to do the first seven verses from verse 1 to verse 7. And this is what the Lord was saying. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets or tables the words that were in the first tables which you broke. Now, you understand, God made it very clear to Moses that he broke the first set of tables, or first set of some editions of the Bible say tablets, but the first set of tables Moses broke. And if you look in chapter 32, I think about the 20th verse. Let's see that. Let me see. Chapter 32, verse 20. Moses broke the tablets in chapter 20. Oh, glory, glory. Let's look there. I want to see this. Ah, Jesus. Ooh. In chapter 32, in verse 19, Moses broke the tables because Moses was mad at the people. Okay, we just want to see that verse. It's verse 19 of chapter 32 of Exodus. Moses broke the tables because when he was spending time with the Lord, seeking the Lord for the people didn't have enough patience to wait till the man of God come back from seeking God. And a lot of times, I remember a few years ago, we ran away on a sabbatical. We have shut the line down for about almost a week, four to seven days. I can't remember the exact time. We had a pastor that ordained a pastor from Texas, and the pastor got so upset with me because he said, "Well, I didn't tell him that I was on a sabbatical, but other people say they were talking to me, I haven't spoke to anybody." Because when you go to a sabbatical, you are not using the telephone, you are not watching television, you are just spending time in the presence of the Lord. You are fasting and praying and reading and studying your Bible. So Moses went up to spend time with the Lord, seek the Lord, and see what the Lord wanted done. And the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments the first time. And when Moses came back down and found that the people had made they took all the earrings and gold bracelets and necklaces and all that stuff, and hairpins and stuff that were made of gold, bangles, and they made a golden calf. And Moses was so upset with the people that he didn't have any compassion for the people. He was just upset because his mind was set on that God had given him these tables to give to the people so the people could walk by the table, by the instruction that God had given him. And he forgot, you know, sometimes you get so into your own doctrine or your own way that you forget that God is the one that's the leader. God is the one is the leader. He's the instructor. And we say, well, they got to do this thing. I'm the pastor. I'm the preacher. I'm the bishop. I'm the apostle. I'm the teacher, evangelist, or whatever your title is. And you forgot that God is the God of mercy. God is the God of compassion. He's a forgiving God. God told, that's what God told Peter and James. He said, no, you're going to, your brother sinned, forgive your brother as many times. He said, well, how many times did my brother sin? Should I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And that's 490 times a day. That's a lot of time for one person to sin in a day. But what he was trying to tell him, he says, as many times as your brother or sister sin against you or just sin, just forgive them. Have a heart of compassion. Have a heart of forgiveness. But we find it very hard to even forgive people for one error. Well, they should have known. This is what we say. They should have known better. Why we should have known? They should have known better. Why they did that? Well, they this way that they have a title. They should know better. Well, you know, people are people. They're flesh and blood, and everybody cannot handle. They cannot handle the attack of the flesh. And he said it very clear. Paul said that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. He said there's a war going on in you. I don't care how much you preach the gospel, how much you teach the gospel, there's still a war going on inside you. You could be a bishop, you could be a pastor, apostle, or teacher, or evangelist. I don't care what your title is. There's a war going on inside of you. And this is why he said we got to cast on every day, not one day, but every day. This is why we ought to be repenting every day. And a lot of times when pastors and men and women of God fail, the people of God would come up again. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't thought she would like that. I didn't thought he could do that. Why he let that happen? Well, they're flesh and blood. And sometimes the flesh comes in much stronger than the spirit. And the flesh takes over. And they do what they do. But God wants us to get to that place of having compassion for them instead of being judgmental, fall on your knee for your pastor, your teacher, your prophetess, your evangelist, and pray for them because they're not perfect. Only he is perfect. That's why he said, be you holy, because he's holy. He wants us, this is an ever working process where God is trying to get us to be holy like him. He's trying to get us to be righteous like him. But from time to time, we go into our own natural. And when we go into our own self, we become just like ourselves, not like God. And this is the thing that we have to do. Moses came down. He went to God. The Bible says in chapter 34 of Exodus, and the Lord said unto Moses, heal thee two tables of stone like unto the first one that you broke, and I will write unto thee upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which you broke. Now this is telling that the Lord is committed. God is committed to his word. His word is not going to change. We always say he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forevermore. God has not changed, and he will not change. What God wrote 2,000 years ago, 7,000 a million years, a billion years ago, God is still saying today. He has not changed. There's nothing new underneath the sun. God is not changing his word. And this is what then Moses, God said, I'm going to write back the same 10 commandments, the same 10 instructions that I've given you that you broke because of your arrogance. God did not even reprimand it, Moses. You know, that's something else. That God is so much a forgiving God that when Moses broke what God gave to him for the people of Israel, that God didn't even chastise Moses. All he told Moses, I'm going to write you, I'm going to rewrite you, which means I'm going to do it over again, what I gave you before for the people. That's all he said. And he told him the ones that you broke. He brought to Moses' attention that he knew that Moses broke him. It was another hearing from God. And sometimes we think, well, say for instance that we go out tonight, and we meet a girl down the street, and we happen to go over to her home. She is beautiful, long legs, short legs, fat, skinny, tall, whatever the case is. And we happen to go over to her house, and our flesh kick up, her flesh kick up, and we have an encounter. You know what I'm talking about. Now, don't feel for 1 minute that God didn't see. God see the moment that we climb into that bed, the moment that we go into that hammock. The more we go in the backseat of the car, the more we go to that couch, God sees everything. But Moses taught that God didn't see. He didn't mention to God anything about it. You see that? He didn't tell God that he broke, but God said, look, let me tell you this. You go to the stone, And I want you to label this time. I want you to cut the first one God cut out with the fingers. The first stones. But now you tell Moses, go now, go. You cut this stuff out. The second tables, two tables. And I'm going to write the same thing I wrote before. Because why? He's God. God is able to forgive us every single day. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not giving us a license because I'm there too. I'm not giving us a license to go and commit sin. But if for some reason, and all of us, you, me, all of us are subject to sin. All of us are subject to sin. Believe what I'm telling you. In word, in thought, and in action. But God is so faithful. This thing blows my mind. It blows my mind because to see that we call him Lord, we call him the Savior, and we mess up, if we go back to him and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says he is faithful and just.
Mm-hmm.
He is upright in who he is. God, what does that mean? He is faithful and upright in who he is as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't even get these seven. I've got so much scriptures to give you all, but I can't even get this past. I'm trying to get the seven verses in here. Verse 2, he says, and be ready in the morning. No, he told Moses, no, after you get these tables, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me in the top of the mountain. Now, he didn't tell Moses, bring your brother Aaron. He didn't tell bring the other associates. He didn't say bring none of any of your ministers. He didn't say bring Josh up here with me, with you. He said you come up to me and present yourself to me. God is calling us. Sometimes we want everybody else. But God said, no, I'm calling you to come up. He says, and no man shall come up with you. See what I'm telling you? Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain. Neither let the flocks nor herds see before the mountain. This is a holy place. And I find that people go into the sanctuary, because I see the sanctuary in the church building as the Holy of Holies. I see people go in the sanctuary and treat the sanctuary any way. Anyway, they go to the altar and act like a fool. Anyway. Any way they want to. Not saying that this is the place where the Spirit of God rests. God's Spirit is there. Yes, it's in your heart, but it's also in the sanctuary. Because he's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere, every prophet, all prophet and all known. But we go in there, we treat the house of God anyway. But he said, Moses, he said, look, don't even let them hurt the flock. Come close to the mountain. Don't let them come close. Keep them far, because this is a holy place. This is a place of worship. We let everything and anything come into our heart and anybody come into our hearts. Your heart, my heart, our hearts is a place of worship. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our hearts ought to be a place of worship. That's where God wants to come. But we let any and anybody, well, I just like her. I just met her on Twitter. I met her on Facebook. I Googled that person's name. We let them into our heart. Everybody's not supposed to come into your heart. Listen to me, because our hearts is a place of worship. He's not really dwelling in the buildings any longer. He comes into the buildings, but he's dwelling in our hearts. That's the place we worship. Oh my God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, verse 4, he says, and he hewed out two tables of stone, that's Moses, onto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, just like God told him, and went up onto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Listen to me. When God commands you to do something, do just that. Don't do no more, don't do no less. Because God knows why he's telling you what to do. He said, look, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. God will let you know who he is. I want you to let you know that God will let you know exactly who he is. People act sometimes like God can't talk. They want to tell God everything and show God everything. God knows everything already. Give God an opportunity to speak to us. You know, sometimes I just lay down. I just lay down there. I might speak to God and say, God, bless this body or touch this body life or change this body, heal this body, and then I'll just lay there and don't say nothing. It's just like I'm in a trance. I'm just laying there. Because a lot of times he speaks to me when I'm in the shower. Sometimes he speaks to me when I'm laying on my back. Sometimes I'm sitting in my favorite chair in the living room, and all of a sudden he'll just show up and talk to me, and I start crying. Because when the presence of the Lord comes, you can't stand still. Oh, my God, you can't just stay there like a zombie. I mean, because when the presence comes, it just overwhelms you with his glory. Then Moses, he said, Moses, look. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. The Lord. See, Lord, the Lord extends to people what they not deserve. You know, God extends, every day God extends mercy and grace to us. But the Bible said that he's compassionate. God is full of compassion. We'll see some scriptures where Jesus, God, saw the people and had compassion on them. Just look upon them. Saw that they needed some compassion. And this is what God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, wants us to do. He wants us to see that people that don't really know him like we know them, know him, need some compassion. And we're so well, I can't stand that sister no more. Anymore. We say, I can't stand her anymore. I can't stand that dude anymore. But guess what? I always say it like this. You don't have to go to the motel with a man. You don't have to go to the motel or the hotel with a woman. But you can still have compassion. You can still have forgiveness. Why? Because if we say that we are children of God, we're saying that we are, I mean, a child is generally like the mother or father. If you have some children or grandchildren, your grandchildren or children usually emulate you. They act just like you. They dance like you. They talk like you. They walk like you. Somebody said, well, she just like you. I could tell you that. I could tell from the time I saw him that he was your child. People will tell you that, why? Because they emulate you. They take on your characteristics, and people can look on them and say that that's your child without a doubt. That's his father. I could see the likeness of that child, of that father, or that mother in that child. Why? Because they take on their father's characteristics or mother's characteristics. And if we say we're God's children, we ought to take on the same characteristics. Stop allowing the enemy to come into our hearts and cause us to get upset and mad. I saw some people yesterday were so mad in the church at some other people that they started. They cuss out other people. I mean, literally cuss out the people. Do you hear what I'm saying? And walk out the church. But yes, then the people would say that they are saved, they're sanctified, and they would call themselves by different titles. They got titles. These are leaders. Do you hear what I'm saying? Leaders. So what's wrong? They have not allowed God. They have not allowed God to transform them. And they would try to show up that they have already arrived, instead of saying, well, you know what, I'm weak in this area of my life and I need some help in this area. Man, there's areas in my life that there's a possibility you do this. I say, yeah. Then, you know, I need you all to pray for me in this area. Yeah. I don't have no problem crying and telling people. I mean, real boo-hoo crying and let them know I need some help in this area. God told Moses. Why did he tell Moses this? Because he's saying, look, you came down. These people, they're not at the same level or the same realm that you are at. They're not advanced enough to be mature enough to stand up in the midst of whatever they're facing. They're looking for God. They're looking for something to help them because they just come out of bondage. And my Lord, they need somebody to watch over them. Do you know that when a woman or a man come out of a relationship, they really need somebody to talk to them, some bad relationship? And sometimes they get into another relationship that is not kosher, it's not right for them. But it looks right. If it tastes right, it may even feel right. But it's not right for them. But they don't spend enough time with God for God to give them the right instructions. This is what these people do. This is what they did. They came out of a relationship with Pharaoh. Listen to me. I want to make this clear for you in that time and today's time. They came out of a relationship with Pharaoh
as their taskmaster. Now God is not their taskmaster, but he's their leader. Moses is their leader, working God working through Moses, and Moses don't have all the instructions yet. Listen to me. Not your pastor, not myself. Your pastor does not have all the instructions. This is why we go and we seek God's faith to get instructions. Because we don't have the instruction. We have flesh and blood just like you. I want to do some of the things just like you want to do. But I have to go seek God to give me instructions so that I can become stronger every day. So when Moses goes seeking God to get instructions, here these people go. Can't even wait for Moses. They go and build a, take all their gold that they had. Because the Bible says when they came out of Egypt, they did not come out empty-handed. They came out with silver and gold. They had all these different types of fabric that they could make clothes. They had lambs. They had sheep. They had goats. They had donkeys. They had camels. They had all types of stuff they came out with. So they came out poor. They could have waited on Moses, but no, they want a leader. They want somebody to instruct them. So they couldn't wait on their leader. They built a calf and called Moses to break the first 10 commandments. And then God gave him a second set. And on the 7th verse, it says, God talking to Moses, he said that he keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be no more mean, by no more means clear the guilty. Because God is forgiving you, that don't mean that he's not going to judge you when you come before him of the sin that you have committed. Because he not just set you free and said, well, you're not going to answer. Yes, he set you free so you can get back on track and begin to walk righteous and holy before him, but you still got to answer. I mean, if my son do something wrong, I said, my granddaughter, I'm going to tell her, you know, I forgive you because God loves you so much. But I'm still going to tell her that, you know, you ought not to do stuff like that. You're much intelligent than that stuff. You don't have to act like other little girls. You don't have to act like little boys. Why? Because you're wiser. I speak wisdom into our ear. I speak knowledge into our ear. And God said, look, he said, I'll forgive. I'm merciful. I keep mercy. I give you all mercy and favor to thousands. For thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. He says, unrepentance cannot experience forgiveness. If you don't have an unrepentant heart, I'm going to post this later. I'm going to post this on this word here on computer later. If you don't have a repentant heart, you cannot experience the forgiveness of the Lord. And I don't mean just saying it, because so many people can say, well, you know, I repent of this stuff. But they repent of the stuff and they go back and do the same stuff again. The unrepentant cannot experience the forgiveness from the Lord. You cannot experience it. Because if we keep doing the same thing over and over, they say, well, I went to the hotel. I'll just talk about me. Right? I can't talk about anybody because I don't know about anybody's problem. Just say, well, the apostle go to a motel, picked up this woman, leave the church. They went separate directions. You know, that's when people are doing something different, they're stealing or they're cheating or doing something else different. They don't usually walk the same place or drive the same place. One go one avenue, the other one go the other avenue, but they meet back at the point of destruction. And we meet at the hotel, the motel, or whatever it is, and we do what we do that make us feel good, that suffices our bodies. And we go back to God and we say, you know what, Lord? I felt like I really, because God knew. You say, Lord, you know, I felt like I really needed to do this thing because my body felt like it was overdue for this release. And say, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do this again. Can you forgive me today, Lord? Please. Cover me with the blood again, Lord, and set me free. Okay, the Lord said, okay, son, okay, daughter, I forgive you. You know, I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God of love. I'm compassionate and I'm forgiving. But tomorrow, I see this girl. I call up on the phone. I send her an email. I send her a text message. And I said, girl, you know, the last time we were together was so good. It was so kind and so loving and so nice. I just really enjoy being with you. Can we get together? And I go back and do the same thing. Now what's happening? And I tell the Lord, I mean, he knows. I don't have to do it because he already knows my heart. But if we openly tell the Lord, we don't have a heart of repentance. So we can't really truly experience the forgiveness of the Lord. This is why a lot of people, some, it's like going around a circle. You're going around a circle all the time. And you can't even reach the path that you really want to walk. Because we're going around the circle over and over and over, around and around and around, trying to reach one path. We can't reach the path. And you say, why I can't reach the path? And Israel was in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years going around a circle. They only had to walk 3 miles. But they could not find that place, that pathway, to where they needed to go. Because why? They had a heart of repentance. And a lot of people died in the wilderness because they were complaining and they were murmuring against God, and God kept them going around and around and around and around and around. They couldn't find them. And the ones that really trust God and believe in God, God lead them to the place that they needed to be. And God is saying the same thing to us today. He is a God of compassion and forgiveness, and God wants us to experience that compassion in our hearts and allow him. He told to Moses, he says, he visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That is the B section of verse 7. So the reason why we want to go to God and receive forgiveness and have a repentance heart is because we don't want this same iniquity, these transgressions, these sins to trickle down to our third and fourth generation of our family. We want to stop this generational curse. We want this generational curse to stop. Now you wonder what? Well, this fella, his father was a trickster, his mother was a trickster, and the daughter acting the same way, the son acting. Why? Because it's the curse. That generational curse. And it has to be broken somewhere. And how does it, you get the generational curse broken? By repentance. By going to the God of compassion, the God of mercy, the God of the forgiveness, and laying it at the foot of the altar and giving it to God. And say, God, I'll wait on you. I'll wait on you. I'm not going to do my own thing anymore. God, I'll wait on you. I'll let you lead me and guide me. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to do things my own way. Moses suffered because of doing things his own way. He's one of the greatest prophets, pastors that ever lived on the earth. Moses. I mean, generations and generations were all over the world, from the Caribbean to Europe. Every preacher that you know that ever been a man or woman of God always mentioned Moses. Yes, still. He was arrogant in his ways. He did what he wanted to do. When God told him to speak to the rock, he struck the rock with his staff. He did his own thing. And it's just like us. Sometimes we hear God. And God said, well, I had a woman share yesterday. She said, you know, the time God told her to do something, and she did her own thing, she went the other way. I got into a serious accident many years ago, and God told me don't go to the street. Go the other way. The other way was the longer way. Took me longer. Go a long way around to get where I was going. And I questioned God. I said, God, why? I said, why do I gonna go the long way when I can go the short way and I'll be there in a few minutes? And when I got there, got into an accident, wrecked my car, and almost killed the people that I hit at the stop sign. And God reminded me when I got in the accident. Didn't I tell you to go the other way? And if I'd have gone the other way, I'd have missed the accident. At the time, go to Matthew chapter 9. We're talking this morning, but God brings compassion and forgiveness. Compassion and forgiveness. God does. Men don't give it. Because a man will tell you that he's forgiven, he's loving, he's kind. One day, because he wants what he wants, or she will say the same thing. She wants what she wants. But their compassion only lasts for a day. The Bible says that the compassion and the forgiveness of God lasts for thousands of years. Thousands. We just read it in Exodus chapter 34, verse 1 to 7. talks about his compassion. It lasts for thousands of years. When God forgives you, it lasts for thousands of years. You die and go, and God still forgive you. He said, descending from Mount Sinai with the stone tables containing God's Ten Commandments, Moses became enraged. I'm reading from my apostolic book. I'll just read this paragraph I want you to hear in your hearing. It said, descending from Mount Sinai with the tables, the stone of tables containing God's Ten Commandments, Moses became enraged at the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. They had given him up for dead and made a new god, a calf made of gold. Moses threw down the stone tables God had given him, shattered them. He ground the calf into powder, spread it on the water, and forced the Israelites to drink it. We read that in Exodus chapter 32, verse 19 to 20. How could they be so unfaithful to God? Expecting God to be furious, Moses climbed the mountain again with two new tables to be engraved with God's law. What happened next amazed Moses. God said, the Lord, the compassionate and great and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Then God rewrote the Ten Commandments for his people. God wanted Moses to know foremost his compassion and willingness to forgive the sins of Israel. God desired for us his compassion. God wants Moses to know that, look, the love that and compassion that he had for Israel surpasses his own comprehension. Moses could not comprehend how God could love Israel so much in the midst of they turn away from him, in the midst of what they've done. And even today you have people coming against Israel, Jerusalem, and they would say all kinds of stuff. But God's still in love with Jerusalem. He's still in love with Israel because they're his chosen people. And folk don't understand that. And you will hear preachers preaching, they will start talking about the Jews, and they don't understand. This is why a lot of preachers go through a lot of torment, because they talk against Israel. They don't understand that. They go through all this stuff, and it's the Bible said it. They that pray for Israel will prosper. And he said, look, God wanted Moses to know foremost his compassion and willingness to forgive the sins of Israel. God desires for us is compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. He has given them to us through the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus, for our sins. The same God has given us the same, his character. Now listen, I always tell you that when you receive Jesus, you receive everything that comes with Jesus. Not some of the things, but everything. So we receive that spirit of compassion, that spirit of forgiveness. But a lot of times what happens, we have the spirit of mercy, unmerited favor to extend to people. But a lot of times what happens when somebody's acting a fool against us, we don't even see God operating through us. We don't even see God operating through us. All we do is say, well, what? All we see is our flesh acting them. Why she thinks she can do this to me and get away with it? Why he think? No. Well, I always say, you don't have to go to the hotel or the motel or go to that person's apartment or townhouse or condominium. You don't have to. But you can still be compassionate. You still can be loving. You still can be kind. You still can be merciful. You still can be forgiving. Why? Because you want God to be seen through you. God wants to be seen through us. God wants us to see. He wants that when people see. I told him on Sunday morning I was teaching on unity in the body of Christ. Something that I taught on the line last year from my apostolic manual, because we're using the same manual in the church. And I was teaching on Sunday. Actually, I was teaching on the topic, unity in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that God, we find out that in the church, that there's little bit of unity. There's a lot of singing and dancing and preaching and jumping, but there's a little bit of unity. Because when unity is in the body of Christ, you will see the manifestation of his glory. You will experience his power and his anointing in the church, not no man-made manifestation, Because in man-made, the manifestation is man-made. There's people just jumping and screaming and crying, but there's nobody getting healed. When God's presence is there, people get delivered, people get healed. You know, they don't come back tomorrow with the same problem. They get healed. And a lot of times when I pray, that the preachers don't even believe in the healing power of God, most of the preachers. They don't believe in it. They say it, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God told Moses, look, I give you this stuff. The same compassion that I have, I give to you. The same forgiveness that I have, I give to you. And this is what I want you to do. Be forgiven. We can't forgive people. We say, I love you, but I can't forgive you. Oh, I forgive you, but I can't forget what you did to me. Well, you haven't forgiven. You haven't forgiven. Anytime I talk about something that somebody did to me, I'm only using it as a testimony. I'm going to have to go to some jail here. They got to tell me some jail here in Massachusetts. I'm assigned to go and preach. Preach every third Sunday, third Friday, Long Island, some jail in some shelter here. And then there's some jail here. I'm going to have to go and minister to inmates there in Massachusetts. Well, why you don't go in there and looking down on the people because they're in confinement? You know, because people think of jail. Jail is just a confinement to get you back on track. It's just a place to get the men and women back on track. So I go in there and I'm going to be ministering to them. And what I'm going to be ministering to them is compassion, the love of Christ, the peace of God. This is what God wants. We want to go to places and see people sick. And we look around and say, well, they're sick. Why they got sick? We start questioning and judging and all that stuff. Why they get in that place? Why they get in that? Well, because the flesh took over. Their spirit was not as strong as your spirit. Their spirit was not as strong as my spirit. Their flesh took over. So now we have to speak to them spiritually and naturally, to a place where they can understand so they can get to where they need to get to. We have to give them information that was given to us by the Lord himself so they can get where they need to be. This is what we got to do. And when we get to that place and don't look down on them, don't look down on them, don't look down on her. We have a woman that she was ordained last night. And if anybody had told me that she had been in prison for a long time, I would have called them a liar. I didn't know that till last night the bishop said that how God has been changing her life. The woman is she's a minister, but she operates in the gift of evangelism. And she goes out every Saturday after we do, maybe sometime in the week, but they say wherever she goes, she talks about Jesus. She wants people to know Jesus. And she goes out after intercessory prayer, and she gives out tracts and ministers to people. God changed her life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. And he says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. They had no spiritual leader. Jesus had great sympathy, great pity and great sympathy on them. He wasn't looking down on them. He saw what they needed. They needed a savior. They needed a shepherd. They needed guidance. We look at the people and we see they're under a bridge, sleeping in a cardboard box. And still we reach out a helping hand. We start to criticize, we start to judge them, or why they didn't keep their home, why they let their home go. Well, they went into a financial slot problem that they could not handle, and nobody helped them. Nobody gave them the instruction that they needed to keep their job. It's much harder than we think. And listen what he says. Then said he unto his disciples, Jesus speaking, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, Jesus looked at souls that needed to be saved. He was looking at souls that were lost in darkness. They needed to be saved. So he said to his disciples, look out here, look out here, look with me. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, look at all these people out here. They're going to and fro, back and forth. They don't have a shepherd. They don't have a teacher. They don't have a rabbi. They need somebody to teach them. And he says, not many preachers didn't have much, many preachers. He said, pray ye. He says, intercede. That's mean to pray. Pray ye. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Christ is the Lord of the harvest. That he send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest of souls is his and mine and must be gathered in his way. The harvesting of the soul is God. They must be harvesting his way. We have to get the instructions from God if we're going to go out into the vineyard. People want to go out, but they're not equipped. And so how can they know here without a preacher? And how can they be go or preach unless they're sent? Matthew chapter 14. People want to go and preach and declare the gospel and don't understand the gospel. They haven't studied the gospel and haven't studied how to allow the Holy Spirit to give them utterance, how to declare the truth that people can understand. I thought about Jesus on Sunday, how Jesus speaks to people at their level. He didn't elaborate in a way that people was confused or lost. What he did, he got down to their level. They were sheep herders or shepherds. They were fishermen. They were tent builders. They were landscapers. He speaks to the place that they could understand. Talked about corn and wheat and fish and all this stuff he talked about. Building. There were construction builders. He talked about that. But we want to go, we want to look for the deepest thing in the dictionary that we can find. And then we want to get up there and we want to talk all of these elaborate words that don't make sense to a lot of people. And you lose the people in the conversation. God, that's what ministry is, a conversation. And it says that, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We just want to teach you a few more things. And then we're going to be teaching again tomorrow. Romans chapter 9. Too many people would tell you, they say, well, girl, I love you so much. I care about you so much. But let a storm come your way. Let a storm come your way. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Let a storm come your way. And you know what? You won't see them people. And then they use God as a defense. Well, I'm waiting on God to tell me, give me a word. And when God give me a word, you know, I'm praying for you. But when God give me a word, I come back by your house. I stop back by your church. Well, why would God separate you or separate us from a place that is teaching the truth? Why would God separate you from a church building where the pastor loved the Lord, worship the Lord, is being taught by the Spirit of God for you to go and do nothing? Just watch television all day. Watch soap operas. Go down by the mall and hang out. Go down by the river and hang out. And you can't get the right teaching. Romans chapter 9. And we're speaking today to you. God brings compassion and forgiveness. And what God told me last night, he says, he's compassionate. He's faithful. He's loving. He's forgiving. And he's willing. And these are the characteristics that God wants us to take on. To be compassionate. To be faithful when we are serving someone. To be loving. Loving them in the midst of their mess. And forgiving. Forgive them. Forget what they did. Don't look down on them. The priest and the Levite did that to the man on the side of the street. And the good Samaritan came by, took him to an inn, paid for all his sick bills, paid for his lodging and his sick bills. He didn't look down on the man on the street, but the rabbi and the priest. This is the Levite and the priest. They passed by on the other side. They looked down on him. They saw him as dirty. I tell you, Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Jesus quoted Moses in chapter 33 of Exodus, verse 19. He lets you know that he is able to have mercy on who he wants to have mercy on. Compassion on who he wants to. He went on and said, verse 17, for the scripture said unto Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 9, verse 9, verse 16, is the parallel scripture that goes to this. We're in Romans chapter 9. And he says, the scripture said unto Moses, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, have he mercy on whom he will, and have mercy on whom he will, and he hardens. See, God, it said that God, and you know, you look at this, you say, well, how could God just raise up Pharaoh to treat his people bad? But God says he rose up Pharaoh so that his power should be made known in the earth. 10 plagues they put on the people. He put on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh still wouldn't let go of the people. But God finally got Pharaoh, the last plague. Pharaoh, listen to Moses, take them and go. Go leave my presence. They recognize that the Almighty God is powerful. He's powerful. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This is good teaching. I might teach this again tomorrow. Because I'm going to get them all in. Luke chapter 10. All depends on what the Lord says. I had something else in mind, but what the Lord says. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. He says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, talking about the man that was on the street, let's go back up and look a little further and further and further, further, further up. And let's look up a little further. Glory to God. This is what God wants us, people of God. He says, verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus was talking to this man about this rich man, the lawyer. And Jesus was talking to him about having compassion and treat his neighbor as he would want to treat himself. And he says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his raiment, of his clothes, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, being selfish. And he says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast or donkey, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more when I come again, I will repay you. Which know of this tree do you think was never unto him who fell among thieves? Jesus answered question, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. See, God wants us to do like him. This Samaritan stood in the office as if he was Jesus. He had compassion where compassion was needed. He had forgiveness where forgiveness was needed. And God said to the, he said to Jesus, said to the man, to the Lord, he said, go and do likewise. Go and do like I've done. Jesus forgive us, so now we must go and forgive people. God, Jesus had compassion on us, so now we must go and have compassion. Jesus loved us and still loving us, so now we must go and love people. Jesus is faithful to us that he forgive us, so we must be faithful to forgive people. We must be faithful and just to forgive us, which means we are in right standing with God. And if you are in right standing in God, you will be willing to forgive and forget. Very simple message. Very simple thing. Go to Luke, to Mark chapter 40, Mark chapter 1. Next book forward. Go backward, yes. Luke. Go back to Mark. Go to Mark chapter 1. And let's start at verse 40. Mark chapter 1. He says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, or begging him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. See, the man touched Jesus' heart. He touched Jesus' heart. I mean, when somebody can come and be begging you, pleading to you to give them something to eat. You have money in your pocket. You have money in the bank. Why can't you just tell them just wait there for a minute and just ride over to the bank and get $5 or $10, where you can't get five, but get $10. And go back and buy a sandwich and a drink and take to them people. Why can't you just put them up in a motel room for the night? And why you put them in the night, just set up, seek out the knowledge that you have, the people that can give them help so they have shelter. They don't have to sleep on the street. Jesus says, the good Samaritan put the man up. He didn't leave him there. The Bible says that he poured oil and wine because, you know, oil and wine is a healing balm. All is heal you. And the wine will heal you. This is what you drink. The people should drink wine, a little bit of wine for belly aches and stomach ache cramps in the belly. Jesus says, he would move with compassion, and he put forth his hand. He touched him and said unto him, I will. What he's saying, I'm going to do this thing. I'm doing this thing right now. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, it didn't wait till the next day. It didn't wait till the next month. It didn't wait till the next year. And as soon as he had spoken, it said, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he said, straightly charge him. And he straightly charged him. Jesus told the man, he demanded him. Forward sent him away and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Why? Because it was not his time. Jesus didn't want to be known by everybody that he was the Messiah. He didn't want everybody to know because it wasn't his time to be crucified. It wasn't his time to die yet for the world. He had to spread the gospel. He had to declare the instruction that his father had given to him. Listen. He said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go your way and show yourself to the priest an altar, an offer for your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And Jesus was quoting Leviticus here in the book of Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 to 32. If you had been healed, you would go and you would bring an offering to the church. Today, people don't know. I tell the people on Sunday, on Saturday morning, when we come to do intercessory prayer, bring an offering to the Lord. I don't care if it's 50 cents, 25 cents, $2, $5, $10, $100. Bring an offering to the Lord. Don't always come to get received from the Lord, but show the Lord that you're not just coming to him, begging him, and praying for him to heal his body and deliver his body, but bring an offering. And you know what? The people have been blessed. They're being blessed. I have husbands and wives that are being mended, that their marriages are being strengthened because of being obedient to what God is saying to us through the word of God. And we're doing spiritual warfare and binding up and loosening some things here on earth. Binding them up and loosening them. Right in the sanctuary on Saturday morning. People just follow. You don't even have to lay hands on them because the power is so strong. Let me begin to do spiritual warfare. He said, the man said, look. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze among about the matter. Abroad the matter, and so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. See, Jesus could not go into the city because the man went out and began to, you know, but it's very hard. It's very hard to heal somebody. For somebody to get healing, they don't tell somebody. I mean, you can offer them money not to talk. They still gonna talk. I mean, when I got delivered and received Jesus, when I got delivered from my crack cocaine and all the stuff I was doing, man, everywhere I go. And then when I go, I used to go to NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't go, and I ain't been for years because I'm totally delivered. I know that, so I don't go for. But from once in time, if I have to stop by one, I talk about Jesus, and they would tell me, well, you know, this is not a Holy Ghost, Holy Roller meeting. Well, I have to talk about what I know. I tell him, oh, Jesus, that's the one that delivered me, you know, many, many years. I said, he set me free. So why am I not going to tell? So this man went abroad, and he told everybody, and Jesus could not go into the places that he would go and share the word. So what he did, he went into the desert place, and the people came to him in the desert place because they wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the word. Go to First Peter, I got a few more things I can get in here. Got 18 minutes to record. I can get in a few more. Go to First Peter. First Peter, chapter 3. I have people now. They call me, tell me from church. They say, Pastor, we got to get the station so we can go. One lady told me, she says, oh, she was so excited to see the excitement all over. She said, I've been listening to the program every day. I've been listening to the program there. And she was telling other people in the church, other women in the church, you need to go on and listen to the program. Well, that's all. Even if we come on and record and there's nobody on the line, we're still recording because we know people are going back and listening. You know, we have 53,387 people. I looked at the computer last night on blog. 53,387 people is listening to us now. Even though they, not one of them is sending a love offering to help us, we are grateful that God is touching the hearts because that's what he called us to do. Listen. After this time run out on the mailbox, I'm going to shut it down because I can't afford to keep it open. Anyway, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse, my God. Verse 8. He says, finally, be you all one of one mind. We talked about this so powerful yesterday in a different script, another scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about this. This one mind, one unity in the body of Christ. And he says, Peter, the apostle says, he says, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. See, this is saying, listen to us. It involves an agreement not only in doctrine, but also in practice, practical aims. He says, evincing regards to each other's welfare, carries the idea of family, tender-hearted, are friendly-minded and kind. And he says here, look, we have to be compassionate. And this is what is a powerful part of this scripture. I didn't have this done, but I just saw it. Verse 9 says, he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, excuse me, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit your blessing. He said, look. Don't give people evil for evil. Don't treat them bad because they've been bad to you. He said, why? Because you know that when you do good, good going to come to you. If I pray for you, somebody going to pray for me. You might not pray back for me, but somebody going to pray for me. Because what? It's God's way. He said this. It's one of his principles. He said, give it and it shall be given unto you. Saturday morning, she called Thursday, but Saturday morning, we went out and we installed a garbage disposal for a lady. And usually the prices for the, because I work pretty fast when I do work in my field. And she is friends of the family. And I went out there and put the garbage disposal. She said, look, she said, Dave, I didn't think it was going to take so long. I said, well, a lot of people think it's just a change out and so on. I said, this is why they cost to charge $160, $130 to $160 they saw the garbage disposal. And I charged her less than half to install it because she's friends of the family. And by doing that, now the lady wants me to extend her heat system in her basement as soon as she gets her taxes. So I'll make a couple $1,000s. So I was able to give to the church on yesterday a little bit more than I normally would give because I had something. And because I was able to give, guess what? The woman wanted me to make to do some more work for her so I can make some money sometime when she get her taxes back, maybe in the spring or something. But that's what God does. Then you give, he gives back to you. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Second book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about God brings compassion. This went fast. And forgiveness. God brings it. He gives it to those that call upon him. He looks, and even though that don't call upon him, God expands his mercy and his grace. Listen, because the Bible said that he was watching over us while we were yet sinning. He died for us on the cross while we were yet sinning. And it's up to us to call upon him now to receive salvation. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. He said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. This man had a legion of demons that would cut him up and cause they had to tie him with chains in a cave. They couldn't let him come up because the demon was so crazy, had him so crazy. And Jesus cast the demons out, caused the demons to leave and ran into pigs. And this man, they said, how come, how be it that Jesus suffered him not? But said, he did not withhold it from him. Listen to me. This suffer said, Jesus did not withhold the compassion. Jesus did not say, well, look, man, you're full of demons. I'm not going to fool with you. Or you smelly. I'm not going to do it. You didn't put on deodorant this morning. You didn't brush your teeth this morning. I can't talk to you. Your mouth smell. Your breath smell. Your armpit smell. Jesus didn't say none of that stuff. What we do, we ostracize people if they don't smell with nice cologne, nice perfume, don't got the right fingernail polish on, the right shoe. All this stuff we find for not to bless people. Not to bless people and pour out the blessing out of our hearts into their lives. We don't speak life into them because we look at them from head to toe and we judge them. Jesus said, the Bible says, how be it? Jesus suffered him now. Jesus did not withhold himself from this man, but said unto him, go home. See, this man, after the demons come, he wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus did not allow him to come with him. Jesus told him, just go on home. You're healed now, you're delivered. Jesus did not withhold speaking of life into him. But Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. Go on home to your family. You haven't been home for so long. You've been bound by these demons. But now you're free. Go on home. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak life into their situation so people can go back home. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, the next book over to your right. And let's put up one or two verses here and see what the Lord is saying. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is healing everywhere. Everywhere Jesus is healing. But in Luke chapter 9, we want to put up verse 22. But I want to go to verse 21 first. He said, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that things. See, Jesus is healing people everywhere. But as I told you earlier, his time had not come for him to be crucified. Jesus is healing people everywhere. Fed the 5,000, healing the blind, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, causing the crippled to walk, raising the dead. He said, don't tell nobody. And then saying the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Jesus said that all these things going to happen to him, but he told him, don't tell nobody nothing yet. He said, just go on. Because I know what's going to happen. See, he knows all things, can see all things. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and daily, and follow me. See, if we are going to follow Jesus, we are going to have to act just like Jesus. Your cross today is telling somebody you love them. Your cross today is telling somebody you forgive them, and you forget what they have done to you. You don't remember it anymore. Your cross today is be willing to do what God says. Your cross today is to be forgiven. Your cross today is to be faithful. This is what God is calling. Luke chapter 15. I do a part of the I got to buy some wine. I'm out of wine from my Holy Communion. Oh, my God. Lord, send the funds so we can do what we need. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. We're going to teach something else tomorrow. Verse 20. He says, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, talking about the prodigal son. And this is an example of Jesus Christ to us. All the stuff that we do and we have done And some of us are still doing some stuff today. When God sees us, when we come to him, when we head back home to him, Jesus is already looking out the window. He's looking out the gates. He's looking out the doors for us. And when he sees us, he runs to us and he kisses us and he wraps his arms around us and he takes us in. Jesus takes us back into his arms and he has compassion on us. He gives us forgiveness. He forgives us. He forgets about our past and he don't remember our past anymore because he's a God of forgiveness. Go to Psalm 130. I got three more scriptures I think I can get in here. Psalm 130. If we don't do the... We did some prayer a little bit in prayer salvation. So if we just want to get into this couple of scriptures here. So you all will have them. Psalm 130. Psalm 130 and verse 4. Psalm 130 and verse 4. Psalm 130, I'm jumping past it, verse 4. This is a short psalm. You can do the whole psalm on your own time. But verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. This forgiveness talking about, he said, look, God forgives us so that we will reverence him, so that we would adore him, so that we would worship him. God forgives us so that we'll have a heart to love on him. And David went on and said, he says, maybe this is the one, Moses wrote this one because it says the author's unknown. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. See, when you're waiting on the Lord, you put your hopes in the word of God. You trust the word of God. You study the word of God. You get into the word of God so that your heart can get stronger. The walk can become strong. Go to the book of Acts chapter 5. Book of Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Book of Acts chapter 5. Book of Acts. Book of Acts. Chapter 5, verse 31, quick. My Lord. Verse 31. This is a powerful book here, too. You're going through trials and tribulations. This is a book that having the power of God, the book of Acts. But just read this chapter 5, a powerful chapter. It says, him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Talk about Jesus Christ. Repentance. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. See, Jesus was exalted by his Father, by God, the Prince and Savior, and a Savior, to forgive repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. This is who he is. For we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them who obey him. When they heard that, they were all cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. See, when you begin to speak like this, people are going to come against you. When you begin to speak with boldness, Peter, and all the apostles begin to speak this thing before the high priest. Paul spoke the same thing, and the Sadducees, and they set out to kill them. Because why? They were speaking the truth. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. When you're speaking the truth, people, even your very family members, Acts chapter 13, verse 37 to 39. And he says, but he whom God has raised saw no corruption. Jesus was not corrupted. Remember we said back in the book of Matthew and Luke that the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness. And the Bible says that he departed after he could not corrupt Jesus. And then in the book of John, he said that he left him for a season, but when he came back, Jesus said that he could find nothing in him. There was no sin. There was no darkness. There was nothing in him that Satan could claim. And this is where Satan comes. He comes to claim something in us that belongs to him. So we got to be very cognizant of what we're doing and what we're saying, of our actions and what we say. Because if we're speaking lies and we're cheating, we're conniving, we're backbiting, those are things that belong to Satan, and it gives him an avenue to come into us. Listen, He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all who believe are justified from all things. Him, all who believe. So if you believe in him, you are justified. Or you are made in right standing, okay, before him. You don't have to make an apology. He said, dogmatically and without apology, set aside the law of Moses as being empty of any ability to justify one with God. But the law could not, but Jesus did it. He said, justify all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1. We got one more scripture after this. Ephesians chapter 1. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, in him who? In Christ. The outpouring blood of the Son of God at the cross is the price for redemption. His blood, he redeemed us by his blood. Jesus did it all. In remission of their penalties. We were forgiven. The riches of that grace gave us at the cross. See, once you work, when you receive salvation, your sins are forgiven. That's what it means. You are called into righteousness. Unmerited favor has set us free. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. His blood was shed at the cross. Colossians is the last scripture. Colossians chapter 1. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Oh, Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of everything? Talk about Jesus Christ. This became the price that was paid for our salvation at the cross. The Lord broke the power of sin and took away its guilt. Romans chapter 6:6. He did it all for us at the cross. Listen, verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Even the demons were created by him. Satan was created by him. Father, I thank you for the word that you have given us today. And Lord God, I thank you for those that heard the word and those that will hear the word. I thank you for all the people that are listening all over the world to your word and receiving the goodness of your mercy and your grace. Those that are receiving compassion, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are touching us today and every day with outreached arms. Holy Spirit of the living God, I thank you for coming in this place this morning and speaking to us. I ask you, O God, that under the sound of my voice that you would touch the children. God, touch all the children today. Every time we look around at the news, listen to the news, we hear of some child being kidnapped, some child being molested, some child being life taken too quick. And Lord, we ask you to cover the children. Lord, we pray for destiny for Dejon, for Davion, for Deidre, for Brianna, for Rebecca, for Simone, for Samara. We pray for Rico, for Tremaine. Lord, we pray for all the children, oh God. We pray for Australia. Lord, we pray for Sister Christina. We pray for Evangelist Campbell, for Mother Irene, Sister Eileen, for all the prophets and pastors and teachers and leaders, evangelists, prophetess, Marcella Smith. Lord, we pray that today, God, that you would touch them in such a special way. Lord, there's so much stuff going on the internet, and people are posting posts with a lot of cuss words and stuff in them, Lord, and they call themselves Christians. We ask you to touch the hearts of your children that, and give them understanding of the posts that they're posting that have a lot of corrupt language in it, oh God, that they would not. I thank you for touching Sister Christina, Lord. You're using her in such a majestic way to post that are touching the hearts of your people, oh God. So many people are being touched by the post that she's putting up. I ask you, oh God, to continue to move among us, continue to help us to grow with strength and with authority and with power. And Father God, we are going through a dry season right now. We are going, Lord, you said we have not because we ask, and when we ask amiss. But Father, we are going through a dry season, a financial dry season. We're asking you, oh God, to touch the atmosphere, touch people's hearts, touch people's jobs, finances, oh God, that they will have an overflowing, oh God. You said that you anoint our heads with oil and you cause our cups to overflow. Lord, you anoint us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, Lord. You said that the riches of the just are stored up by the sinners. Lord, we ask you to release, cause the sinners to release our riches, oh God, our blessings. Father, we ask today that the blessings that you give to us will make us rich, and you add no sorrows to them. And we're calling our blessings to us right now. We call them from the north, from the south, and from the east. We said finances coming, that we can do the will of God here on earth, that we can help those that need help, and that we can help ourselves. Father, we pray today that the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, will go over this line throughout the atmosphere and begin to touch people. Lord, that you'll bless them in the city, you'll bless them in the field, that you'll bless them when they come and you'll bless them when they go. We ask your protection over every leader, everyone that partake of the service from day to day, those that come on, those that listen by computer. Lord, I pray right now that you would help Marcella to, she said her computer went out and broke. But I pray, Lord, that if it can't be fixed, that you will give her provision, that she'll get a new computer. Lord, I pray, God, that you open doors for her that no one can close, and close doors that no one can open. God, continue to impart new wisdom and new understanding in our children and our grandchildren. Lord, we ask that you continue to order their footsteps. Lord, not only their footsteps, but order our footsteps. Lord, we ask you to set a hedge, a mantle of protection over each and every one of us, that no drive-by shooting will be able to shoot through our car, through our homes. Lord, on our jobs, Lord God, in our schools. Lord, we pray that, Father God, protection would begin to, oh God, cover our schools, cover the teachers, cover the children, oh God. Cover them when they go and when they come, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to cover the bus drivers that are driving our children. Lord, take away that need to want to use narcotics and alcohol. The bus drivers are getting arrested for using drugs and alcohol. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you remove those ones that are corrupt, even those police officers in Michigan that are beating the people on the streets and kicking the people and all that kind of stuff wrongfully. That's not written in the law books. Police should not treat the people the way they treat the people. Father, I ask you, oh God, to remove those officers out of the justice system, Lord. There's no need for that type of officers to be in the justice department. Lord, I pray today that you would cover those police officers that are working by the book, oh God, that are working using the law, God. You said there's no power that's in authority that you have not placed there. Lord, I ask you to move those that, God, does not operate under the law. Lord, cover our judges, our magistrates, our presidents, the Congress, the senators, Lord God, all the lawgivers and the governors. Lord, I pray for your protection right now. Lord, I pray today, Lord God, that we leave this land, but not your presence, that your grace and your mercy, Lord God, should be with us, Lord. We Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you for blessing us in the city and blessing us in the field. We thank you for making us the head and not the tail, for setting us above and not beneath. We thank you, O God, for making us the givers and not the boards. Father, we thank you for the abundance that are coming our way. We thank you for the rain, the holy rain that is falling on us, for covering us, O God. We thank you for the mantle of God that's resting upon us. Father, we thank you for healing our bodies from the inside out, for healing our hearts, our livers, our kidneys, our bladders, O God, our liver. Every part of our body, Lord, that you have healing right now, our eyes, our ears, our lips, our tongue. God, we thank you, our feet, our hands. Lord, we thank you for healing us right now, our knees, our hip bones, our ankle bones. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we give you praise, we give you honor, and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You all, you know, I always like to tell you all, because I got to go study anyway for tomorrow. I haven't eaten anything all day, so I'll get something to eat. And we've been fasting all day every Friday. So if you all want to fast with us on Friday, we fast from morning till sunset, till the sun goes down. And all we're drinking is liquids, no soda, juice, or tea, no ice cream and that kind of stuff, no candies. We fast all day on Friday to receive the power and the uplifting of the Holy Spirit on Saturdays. We're soon going to go into a 21 days or 40 day fast. We'll let you know. But we thank God for you all. Just remember to tell somebody that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak out of your heart, that might change somebody's life today. Speak it out of your heart and have somebody to be free. Have somebody not to commit murder, not to maim somebody, not to steal from somebody, break into somebody's house, but speak love. You know, I know it's the hardest thing for us to do, to tell somebody that you love them. It's very hard. Because it's easy for us to say, well, I hate that brother, I hate that sister, what she did to me. I just can't stand her. But, you know, it bears a lot more weight when you tell that person you love them in spite of what they have done to you. You say, God love you and I love you too. And if you want to stretch it a little further, you can say, I now forgive you for all that you have done. Just want you to know that. And just keep on walking, keep on driving. Leave that in their plate. They're either going to eat it or they're going to spill it. But leave it in their plate. They can't hinder you from loving them or forgiving them. It's your own prerogative. I want to tell you all that I love you so much, and I thank you all for your presence. Have a blessed day. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. If you can't get on tomorrow or you have to do something else, do what God's leading you to do. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. And you can always go back on Facebook and pull up the page and listen to the service. God bless you. I love you, God. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.